Let's turn to Exodus chapter 27 this evening. Exodus chapter 27. I'd like for us to read verses 20 and 21. We now come to the end of this chapter that not only has focused on the preeminence of the brazen altar, that initial piece of furniture that confronts you as you enter the courtyard of the tabernacle. But also we studied within this chapter the fencing that which surrounded the tabernacle furnishings. These final two verses deal with the oil that was used for the lamp within the holy place. In verse 20 it reads, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring the pure oil olive beaten for the light to cause the lamp to burn always. In the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. And it shall be a statute forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel." Let's pray. O God, we ask now that you would teach us from your precious word. Help us to be godly examples and godly lights of your saving grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. The other week, we studied the courtyard of the tabernacle. It foreshadowed the person and work of Jesus Christ. Just as all of the furnishings and all the instruments and structure within the tabernacle in some way gives us some insight concerning all that Jesus Christ is. That curtaining, that fencing that surrounded the courtyard, the tabernacle furnishings, reminded God's people that there is a separation between man and God. And man is in need to get to God. And by following the fencing around the tabernacle furnishings, it came to an entrance, a door. And this entranceway was wide and it was colored with four materials, all foreshadowing the person of Jesus Christ. It was the only way in. And so likewise, Jesus Christ is the only way in to heaven. He is that door. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I trust that you have entered through that door. I trust that each one of you here this evening have made a point of and have come to the understanding that fencing is too high to get in by your own efforts. And it's the holiness of God that separates man from God, because that curtaining or that material fencing around the furnishing was white, illustrating the fact that God is holy, man is not, and our sin separates us from a holy God. But as you followed the fence line, it came to an entranceway and where you were confronted with the opportunity to go in. It was a broad entrance, available for all people, and upon entering the courtyard, you were confronted by the brazen altar where all the sacrifices took place. And so likewise, if you and I are to enjoy heaven and enjoy God's forgiveness, we must face the reality of the price that was paid. in order to provide that door in. The blood that was shed, the body that was broken, the blood and body of Jesus Christ. I trust that you have entered in through the door, that is Jesus Christ. I trust that you have realized your need and have come to Christ by receiving him as your own personal Savior. See, the tabernacle not only teaches us how we can know God personally, but we also find within this tabernacle structure lessons on how we can best represent him, be a witness of his saving grace. And this is the point of our study this evening. Here in verses 20 and 21, there is a reference to the oil that was used in order to light up the lampstand. The lampstand was to provide light within the holy place. We are to be lights for the Lord Jesus Christ in this world of darkness. In Philippians 2:15, the Bible reads, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Our ability to shine comes from our God, for Jesus Christ is the light of the world. In Numbers 6:25, it reads, "The Lord make his face to shine upon thee." So within the life of every blood-bought child of God, we have the ability to be a light. This lampstand that we've studied already back in chapter 25, you might recall, is referred to with personal pronouns. This lampstand was made out of pure gold. We are told of the weight of gold used in order to shape this seven-armed lampstand or candlestick, but we're not told of the measurements. The oil, olive oil, what was used as fuel to provide light in each of the arms of this lampstand. And this evening, as we study a little on this oil, I'd like for us to note some lessons on how you and I can shine brightly or brighter for God's glory. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5:16? "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." My friend, this evening, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? If you do, I trust that you want to glorify him. Well, in order to glorify him, we need to let our light so shine. That's what the Bible teaches. "Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So how do we shine brightly or shine brighter as children of God? Let's note first and foremost from our passage of Scripture concerning the oil that was used was olive oil in order to lighten the lampstand. There are many kinds of oils. There is sunflower oil, sesame seed oil, peanut oil, coconut oil, canola oil, and many others. But God saw fit to use olive oil in order to fuel these lampstands and to provide light within the holy place. So God instructed his people to use olive oil that came from the olive tree. The olive tree within the land of Israel was the most indispensable tree within the land. An olive tree could live hundreds of years. In fact, some claim that some of the trees around Jerusalem are thousands of years old. The olive that came from this tree produced a distinct oil. Among many things, this olive oil was tasty. Olive oil is tasty. It's the only way to cook a chicken schnitzel. In fact, it's the only way to fry an egg. Olive oil. It's the way to go. Not only is olive oil tasty, olive oil has a beautiful aroma. It gives off a beautiful scent. An aroma that takes over the kitchen and beyond. So this olive oil that was used in order to lighten the lampstand was, on a base level, was a pleasant produce. Tasty and had a beautiful aroma. Think about that for a moment. And let me ask you this evening, as people observe, as people taste, smell your life, does it cause them to hunger after what you have? Or does it cause them to say, yuck? No, thank you. See, just like olive oil is tasty and it gives off a beautiful aroma, we as Christians need to be a sweet taste and smell to and for God. Note there in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible reads, "For we are unto God a sweet savour, a sweet fragrance of Christ in them that are saved and in them that are, that perish." And then in Philippians 4:18 it talks about, "But I have all and abound." The Apostle Paul said, "I am full, having received of Epaphroditus," note this, "the things which were sent from you, an odor, an aroma, of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." So just like the olive oil was tasty and had a beautiful aroma, I trust and pray that your life, my life, is of good taste and is of an appealing aroma before others. I can imagine the aroma that those priests enjoyed as they served within the holy place. That area must have smelt divine. A vast difference, think about it for a moment, a vast difference to the aroma that came from all that flesh and all that blood that was burnt on the brazen altar. Burning flesh, burning blood, not very attractive, not appealing. But then going into the holy place and smelling the aroma that came from the olive oil, I'm sure that would have been a wonderful relief for those servants within the tabernacle. Do people like what they see in us? Do people like what they hear of us? See, Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and it is Jesus Christ in us that is the attraction. Can people taste and see that the Lord is good as people taste and smell the aroma of our lives? That's base level. Olive oil is pleasant oil. It's tasty. It smells beautiful. Another reason why this olive oil was used is because it burns. It has potency. Not only pleasant, but it has potency. Olive oil can burn at a higher temperature than most oils. And it produces less smoke, and it can produce more light than other oils. God has placed within the olive juices that are flammable. Now, we need to be careful in using olive oil because it can catch a light. So I don't recommend deep frying with extra virgin olive oil. You might find that you'll have a fire on hand. This olive oil was not only flammable, it was capable of providing the needed light within that tabernacle area, within that holy place. Because bear in mind, as you walked into the tabernacle proper, there were no windows. It was the only source of light within the holy place. And I'd like to submit to you that within the life of every child of God is the presence of God's Holy Spirit. For Romans chapter 8, verse 16 teaches us that the presence of God's Spirit testifies to the fact that we are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit, amongst many other names, is known as the Spirit of Fire. Note there in Matthew chapter 3, please. Turn with me in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 11. Note what John the Baptist said concerning the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. He said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I," in reference to Jesus Christ, "whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Potency. Olive oil had potency. It can burn. It can burn brightly. The Holy Spirit is our source of power. He is our spiritual power. His power can be ignited in our lives as we acknowledge His presence and allow Him to take complete control of our lives. We can have the evidence of the Holy Spirit's power in our lives. Is your life, is my life on fire for God? It is possible because the Spirit of fire, that pure olive oil, is in our possession. We need to ignite Him by letting Him take complete control. That's what Simon Peter did of old. Note there in Acts chapter 2, please. Book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. There on the day of Pentecost, note there in Acts chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it reads, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues," that is, other known languages, it's spelled out in the context here, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we see here the anointing of God's Spirit upon the life of Simon Peter as he opened his mouth and preached the word of God with the apostles. And note then verse 41, as a result, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Simon Peter was anointed with the Spirit of fire. This olive oil not only was pleasant, it had potency, it had power. And beloved, you and I need to be living our lives under the control of the blessed Holy Spirit. Olive oil was not only flammable, it produced a penetrating light that expelled darkness. Let me ask you this evening, what about you? What about me? Are we on fire for God, full of the Spirit, that our lives turn darkness into light? We have the potential, because the Spirit of fire indwells within us. And Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. And he said shortly before his departure, I'm going to send a comforter to you. He's going to endure you with power. And that's what Simon Peter had, the power of the Spirit of God upon his life. He was on fire. God used him mightily. And this oil, olive, not only is pleasant, it had potency. It could burn. It was flammable. It gave off a very bright light because it burned at a higher temperature. See. But go back to Exodus chapter 27. What else do we know about this oil? It was olive oil. It was flammable. But also note here in verse number 20 that it was pure oil olive. It was pure. The oil used had to be free from any defilement. It was not to be mixed with any other substance. It was to be free from anything that would pollute it. The purer the oil, the brighter the light. My friend, God wants our lives to shine forth his light. To shine forth his light as bright as possible. It is the life of Christ that is the source of our light. And we are channels of his light in this world of darkness. As 2 Corinthians 4:6 reads, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. John 5:35, he was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. My friend, you and I are to be a bright light for God's glory, and this oil, olive, that was used to lighten the lampstand had to be pure, had to be free from any defilement. In Ephesians 5:8, it talks about we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The brightness of our light will be no greater than the level of our purity. The oil had to be pure olive oil. Pure olive oil, free from any defilement, clean, unadulterated. Is this our standing before God? We're called upon to be lights. Are our lives vessels of honor or dishonor? The difference is our purity level. Quickly, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. It reads, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." And that's why it reads in verse 22, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." See, smoke from fire often means, usually means, there is a foreign object in the burning. Gives off the smoke. Pure olive oil does not give off smoke. It just does its job. It burns, and it burns bright. Does your life, does my life, give off a smoky haze? Or does it give off a bright, radiant light? Your level of holiness, your level of purity, makes all the difference. This oil was pleasant, number one. This oil was potent, flammable. This oil was pure. Now go back to Exodus chapter 27. Are you still with me? I know it's Father's Day, but stay tuned. Okay? Now we'll get down to business. Are you serious about wanting to be a bright light? Okay. You'll have to digest this next point. You ready for it? Look at verse 20. "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring the pure oil olive," let's say the next word together, "beaten." Beaten. It's worth underlining. Pounded. Beaten. Doesn't say pressed. Beaten. This oil that God's people were to provide for the lampstand was extracted from the olive by pounding the olive flesh. Beaten. See, the lampstand was to be fed with oil prepared only this way. Had to be beaten. It was prepared from olives which were bruised, using a stone pestle, stone mortar, the same way that they crushed wheat to turn it into flour. This oil that was used within the temple had to be provided via pounding. Pounding the pulp until it gave off its oils. And the reason why the oil was extracted via pounding or beating was that this way it would be free from any sediments or any dregs that could mar or pollute the oil that was taken from an olive mill. Well, they took a bunch of olives and put them in a mill. The Lord Jesus made reference to a millstone. And where they crushed the olives, they broke the olives up, and then they put them in a press, a Gethsemane, to squeeze the oil out of the olives. No, not good enough. This oil had to be pure. It had to give off the greatest measure of light. So these olives had to be pounded. You can imagine a pestle and a mortar just bang, 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 crushing that pulp until it became liquid. And the oil that was pounded out from the olive in a mortar, not pressed from the olives with pressure, the oil obtained from the pounding effect was always more purer, was always tastier, and it did not give off smoke, and it did not give off any offensive smell. The pestle and mortar used to pound the olives produced an extra virgin olive oil that was fit to light up the tabernacle with greater brightness. Pure olive oil beaten for the light. Beaten for the light. My friend, this evening, our Lord Jesus not only endured the press of betrayal and arrest, he also endured the pounding of the cross for our sin. The Bible teaches us he sweated drops of blood while he prepared himself to become our full sin substitute. He was willing to be beaten and bruised for our iniquities, Isaiah 53 verse 5. He endured the cross. This beating, this merciless pounding of his suffering qualified him to be the light of the world. As John 8:12 reads, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Christian, the greater beating, the greater the light. Get it? The greater the beating, the greater the light. As God allows us to be beaten through times of testings, the good news is that you and I can be a brighter light for God's glory. If we receive the beating graciously, and we're thankful for the trials and the testings and the pounding that God does with our lives, we'll be able to radiate a greater light. So this olive was not just crushed and pressed, it was beaten, pounded, until the juices came flowing out of it. First Peter 2:9 teaches us that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. My friend, this evening, the greater the spiritual beating, the greater the spiritual light. Are you with me? The greater the spiritual beating, the greater the spiritual light. The more that olive pulp was beaten, the brighter the light it could produce. What a wonderful illustration of the fact that God allows us all to go through times of, it's as if God is beating us. Why? Because God wants to shape us. And God wants us to shine more brightly for His glory. But it's going to take some beating. Graciously allowing God to keep us and staying within that mortar. And God being that pestle pounding, that we might shine brightly for God's glory. It's interesting, the word beaten is mentioned for the first time in Exodus chapter 5, verse 14. And it's in reference to God's people being beaten by the Egyptians to be more productive. Bible says the Egyptians beaten them so they would be more productive. And I submit to you and I, as Bible-believing Christians, God allows us to be beaten. And God often places us within His mortar, stone, cold mortar, and takes His pestle to pound to produce some extra virgin, pure olive oil that tastes delicious, smells beautiful, and is an attraction to others. The pounding. But my last point, go back to verse 20. Are you still with me? One more point. One more point. This was no ordinary oil. Look at verse 20, the first part of the verse. It reads, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring the pure oil, olive, beaten for the light." The olive oil, this olive oil that was pleasant, that was potent, that was pure, and that was beaten or pounded, it was provided by the children of Israel. God's people had to provide the oil. They were to bring the oil to the tabernacle. And the priest took the oil and lit up the lampstand with the oil that was provided by the people. The oil that was presented to God by the people. It was provided by the children of Israel. It was freely supplied to be used by the priests serving in the tabernacle. And note that at the end of verse 20, the Bible reads, to cause the lamp to burn always. 24/7, this lampstand had to be alight. That's a lot of oil. No matter how large that lampstand was, it could only hold so much oil. Eventually, that oil would all burn. It had to be constantly refilled. And God's people had the responsibility of providing this oil pure, beaten, and presented to the priest to be used within the tabernacle. And because the demand was constant, burn always, the Bible teaches us, the supply needed to be constant. The people gave their olive oil to the service of God. Are you getting the picture? Have you, without reservation and with constancy, given your all to Jesus Christ? This is God's expectation. There in Romans chapter 12, it talks about presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Now, I'll have you note that every sacrifice that was made on that brazen altar was killed initially. So why does God make reference to a living sacrifice? The problem with a living sacrifice is that it can crawl off the altar. And you and I are to constantly and fully give our lives over to the Lord. And this oil that lit up the lampstand, lit up the tabernacle, was provided by the children of Israel. They brought the pure olive oil beaten for the light to cause the lamp to burn always. Beloved, if we are to shine brightly, if we are to shine to our full potential, we need to be full of God's Spirit. We need to be pure. We need to receive with thanksgiving the beating He allows in our lives. And we need to remain constantly on the altar of full sacrifice. We need to be presenting our lives over to Him with constancy. I don't read of a roster here. No roster. It was understood that this lampstand had to burn always. And God said to the people, you are all responsible to provide the oil so this lampstand burns always. So every single Israelite bore that burden. Got to provide oil. Got to provide oil. Got to provide oil. That lampstand needs to burn always. God wants our lampstand to burn always. What a wonderful picture of the fact that you and I need to present our lives over to the Lord and stay on that altar and continually give over our life to Him. For some of us, we might say, oh, Pastor, I surrendered my life to the Lord 10 years ago. Well, what about now? What about today? Oh, Pastor, I gave my life to the Lord when I was 15. Well, what about now? What about now? It's constant. Your life, my life, is full of chapters. Nothing remains the same forever. And you and I need to be constantly giving our all to God, surrendering our all to God, for God to use us as He sees fit. See, there was a demand 24/7 for oil for the lampstand. And who was to provide it? God's people. Not the priests. God's people. God's people. Have you presented your life fully to the Lord? Are you remaining on that altar? Thereby will shine brightly. How bright is your life? The greater the light, the less of the darkness. And this is the main lesson for us from the usage of pure olive oil that was beaten. It was supplied it was presented, it was provided by the people. Have you presented your life to the Lord? It doesn't mean that you'll necessarily become a missionary or a pastor or pastor's wife, I can only hope. But give your all to Him. Do you want to shine brightly? Do you want to shine brightly? Talk to me. Allow God to beat you. I shared with the students on Thursday morning at Bible College that during my Bible College years, I prayed that God would break me. Boy, God pounded me for 3 years. God pounded me, rebuilt me, reshaped me. Will you allow God to beat you, pound you, so that you and I will not give off this smoky light, but that you and I might give off a pure, bright light for His glory. But let's make sure that we've presented our oil to Him. Some wonderful lessons from the oil for the lampstand. Pleasant. Potent, pure, and if it was to shine brightly, it had to be pounded, and this oil was presented to the Lord. Let's pray.